This is going to come to every city on earth, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you think this is crazy talk or not. Something like this, expect it.
In this day and age, it is becoming increasingly evident that you're going to need real skills in the world. In my view, it's being adaptable, being versatile, being a critical thinker.
If the U.S. is going to go in and take over the oil, take over the natural resources, set up a vassal state that we can work with, I think that the Bitcoin is definitely on the table.
Do you see pink elephants, you know, flying outside your window this morning? You know, when you were reading this headline? You know, if you believe this, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Greer and Tony are here with me already, guys. Crazy times as always. Bitcoin becomes king in Iran. So it's not out of nowhere. There's real pressure, pushes real behavior. This is Mario Nafal, by the way. He's talking about Iran's fiat is imploding and people are turning to Bitcoin. It's not just about individuals hedging anymore. State-linked networks have been moving huge sums through crypto channels to get around sanctions and funnel money across borders. And it says, third, Iran's cheap energy makes Bitcoin mining Bitcoin super profitable. Electricity costs there make mining a Bitcoin dirt cheap compared to global prices. So basically, Iran, out of desperation, are turning to Bitcoin. Actually, Tony, I'm going to let you start with this because you experienced something that looks a bit like this in Lebanon. I would love to hear your initial reaction to Iran seeming to make the right adjustment and move toward Bitcoin.
What do you know, man? My prophecy turned out to be real, right? I mean, this is Lebanon all over again on a much larger scale, except the people over there are a lot more intelligent than the people in Lebanon because of their immediate instinctive reaction to Bitcoin, which is why it's exploding over there. They're realizing, you know, that when all else fails, there is a solution that they can finally hang on to in order to somehow, you know, survive this whole calamity and move forward into a more promising future. This is going to come to every city on earth, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you think this is crazy talk or not, it doesn't really matter. Once the money breaks and it's breaking and your turn is coming, something like this, expect it. And the reason why Bitcoin is so important in an environment like this is because if you follow the news, you also see the horrific and violent reaction of the regime that is desperately trying to stay in power, that is killing, you know, protesters, that is, you know, gunning innocent kids, children, you know, anyone that talks against them. So what are you going to attempt to protect your savings in? There's nothing physical that will be safe in an environment like this. And so this is where, you know, the value proposition of that digital asset that no one can confiscate becomes, you know, priceless. Coming soon to a city near you. Here's the preview again for those that need more convincing.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is they're turning to Bitcoin and presumably not gold. While gold has historically secured your purchasing power, what it can't do is help you get through border security or, you know, across towns when you've got checkpoints or whatever. And obviously in a situation like this, I imagine there's mayhem on the ground. Greer, what's your take on this?
Imagine you wake up in Iran and you're a Bitcoiner. Let's say you've got one Bitcoin and all of a sudden you're now worth $104 billion in your local currency. You know, I think Samson Mao, he hasn't been bullish enough. You know, he's called for the Omega candles and the $1 million Bitcoin. But look at Iran. It's now $104 billion or real for this one Bitcoin. So I think the next step is, what do you do with your purchasing power if you decide to stay in Iran? And when Bitcoiners talk about creating a new future, I think that Iran is showing us what that could look like. Waking up and having your purchasing power exponentially increase overnight. Now's the time to start thinking about building a future that you want to be proud of. And you now have the chance to purchase assets that your neighbors might not have the financial wherewithal to do. So this is incredible news if you're a Bitcoiner. And when we talk about it coming to other parts of the world, you know, yes, please, let's let this happen everywhere. I think Bitcoin is obviously the winner. It is borderless, it's permissionless, and you keep it outside the system. And to the benefit of anybody who's holding Bitcoin, You know, this is a real life scenario of what happens when your purchasing power increases as your fiat money collapses in real time. So, you know, I hope that we see a good outcome in Iran. I know it's a complex issue. There's a lot of people, you know, on either side of this. But I think if you're a Bitcoiner, you know, you're waking up today and you're feeling pretty good about your circumstances.
I think that's well said. Alrighty, guys, up next, BTQ Technologies has launched Bitcoin Quantum, a permissionless Bitcoin fork testnet, which allows users to stress test quantum resistant transactions. So obviously the quantum FUD has been circulating for the last few months. That's kind of the newest iteration. Since Bitcoin has not boiled the oceans and since it's not just criminals using it anymore, they needed something new. And it's quantum computing is going to obliterate Bitcoin. Tony, you're the one, I think, who sent this article to me. Would love to hear your initial reaction to this.
Yeah, I was very happy to read it because it's finally, hopefully, going to put to rest all these clowns that have been FUDing the risks, you know, around quantum computing and Bitcoins, you know, scaring the living daylights of those, you know, that don't understand much to begin with. There's a lot of intelligent people working on this, you know, and the real threats of quantum are not imminent. I mean, they're still many years away, and too many intelligent people are already working on a solution which will be ready way, way, way before we actually need it. And so this headline, you know, really made me smile because, you know, it's hopefully going to put at ease so many folks and let them know, you know, that this isn't just, you know, people on the other side protecting their positions. There's, you know, factual proof here showing that, you know, a solution to this is coming. Bitcoin is the future of money. There's a lot of people invested in it. The whole, like, nation states are building, you know, their futures on it. No one's going to let this go unnoticed, all right? So quantum computing is a far, far threat. It's not going to happen tomorrow or next year. And before it does, something like this, a solution, a simple upgrade from, you know, the current infrastructure of wallets to that new one that's more resistant to this will be available to everybody. So relax, smile. The future is still orange, very orange.
Greer, do you share the sentiment?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Bitcoin is hard money, not just because it's capped at 21 million coins, but because it's anti-fragile. Any attack that Bitcoin is met with is backed by a community of very intelligent people who have the incentive to solve the problem. And like Tony said, years before the problem arises. So I think the Bitcoin quantum FUD was just fear, and it was a way to keep you on the sidelines, thinking that maybe there would be an alternative to Bitcoin. But as we can see, there is no alternative. Bitcoin is the answer. It's sound money. It's hard money. And the reasons for not adopting it are zero.
I agree. All righty. We've got, Greer, I pulled this one for you specifically, our permabull. VanEck says, in a hyper Bitcoinization scenario where Bitcoin captures 20% of international trade and 10% of domestic GDP, the implied value per coin could reach $53.4 million. Take it away.
Yeah, I'm somewhat of a bulltard. I think that Bitcoin is going up forever. And I agree with Jeff Booth that, you know, the Bitcoin will be worth the amount of the entire worldwide financial system, which is, you know, something like between 600 trillion and a quadrillion dollars. So how long do we have to wait for $53 million of Bitcoin? According to the bull case from VanEck, it looks like 2050. But if you look at the news, I think it's going to be a lot sooner than that. The world is not going to sleep on Bitcoin. It is going to continue to demonstrate how it protects you over time. And while we had something of a nothing burger of a year in 2025, if you're an optimist, you looked at that opportunity as a chance to stack sats, to purchase more Bitcoin before it went parabolic. So I think even their bear case isn't that, you know, realistic. You know, they think maybe it'll be 3 million or something by that time. But I'm thinking Bitcoin's going to be in the tens of millions of dollars. And I love seeing the hopium. You know, there is nothing like a dopamine hit when you see Bitcoin spike $7,000 in one day. You know that what Bitcoiners have been saying for a long time is going to be true. And even think about Hal Finney. We really kind of celebrated his first transaction yesterday. But he predicted that Bitcoin would ultimately be the reserve capital for banks. And he valued the world market at $300 trillion, giving every Bitcoin a value of $10 million. So this is something that anyone in Bitcoin has known since the beginning. So, you know, the big guys, the suits are now onto it. And do you think they're going to go away and just forget about Bitcoin? I think not.
I think that's well said. Tony, you, I think when your grandma sends you euros for Christmas, you use it for toilet paper. What's your take on a dollar or a fiat denominated Bitcoin price prediction?
I don't know why he's waiting so long for the year 2050 to claim these numbers. If you just watch the news and see how things are deteriorating, you know, globally, this is going to happen way, way sooner than that. And like you said, Greer, the wrong people now understand Bitcoin. And, you know, well, you know, they're desperately sprinting to get as much of it as possible, which is why they dangle all these, you know, all these carrots in front of people who still don't understand what this is, just to separate them from their coins. You know, like all these, you know, these stupid products like ETFs and Bitcoin treasuries. It's just, you know, keeping people dependent on you know, the wrong system so that they don't learn what this asset represents and that they don't put themselves in a position where they can build generational wealth for themselves and their families. Like, I mean, those that are still waiting around will benefit from Bitcoin at some point. But, you know, those that are paying attention to it today, these are the pioneers of the future, right? I mean, and this is really where you want to be. You get the Bitcoin as much as possible of it as you can right now. You learn how to use it. You understand that this is money. It's not a speculation. It's not a trade. You learn how to hold it in self-custody. And then, you know, you are just riding, you know, the wave of the future, you know, on a completely different wavelength.
Well said. Alrighty. Right now, there are no states in the U.S. where a full-time worker earning minimum wage can afford a modest two-bedroom apartment per the National Low-Income Housing Coalition. And to me, this kind of seems self-evident. I mean, minimum wage is very low. I think minimum wage is also a big problem. I don't think there should be a minimum wage, but it would stand to reason if that's what you're earning in the United States, you're going to have a hard time affording a two-bedroom apartment almost anywhere. Greer, as an American, what's your take and response to this?
Yeah, I think this is the sad reality. You know, the younger generations feel like they've been lied to. The American dream is no longer for them. And I understand that sentiment. I would say if you are a young person, find a minimum wage job, take whatever, let's say half of your pay, invest that into Bitcoin, and do whatever you can to limit your standard of living today so that you can enjoy a much brighter future, you know, 5-10 years from now. I think that the younger generations, they have a chance to build their wealth in Bitcoin. And what we've seen over the last several years is that Bitcoin rewards the holders. There are no get-rich-quick schemes that work for everyone. I think Bitcoin is a get-rich-quick slow scheme, you know, and as I said a minute ago, it has years where it doesn't meet our expectations, but it will hold your purchasing power. And I think that as more young people learn the hard way from investing in crypto or betting apps, they'll find Bitcoin, and over time they will see that it should have been the only thing they spent any time learning about and purchasing.
Tony, what do you think?
I think this is extremely heartbreaking. And the problem is that these folks are not all listening to these messages. I mean, they don't know what the problem is. And, you know, they're just running around in circles hoping to find a job that pays more than the last one they had. Gen Z, man, should be focusing on doing their own thing and avoid earning in dollars or any other fiat currency altogether, like from the get-go. There's no future in that worthless paper, and it's always going to be used against you at some point. So you are swimming against a very strong tide that has no good intentions towards you. So my recommendation to anyone who's listening to this, who is, you know, struggling to make ends meet, get off that chessboard. There is a new one that, you know, will help push you into a much brighter future, a much stronger one, than the one that you're currently on. But yeah, of course, you need people to understand this messaging and to have access to it to begin with.
I'd like to add something to what both of you have said here, and that is, in addition to accumulating Bitcoin, living, you know, below your means, and just purchasing Bitcoin with anything that you have left over, living a modest life, I would also add, in this day and age, it is becoming increasingly evident that you're going to need real skills in the world, and that pushing papers around in an HR department, I mean, even a lot of the jobs that we've historically thought of as those that bring prosperity, like being a lawyer, they're going away with AI. And so I think in my view, it's being adaptable, being versatile, being a critical thinker, and having a range of skills, not just one expertise that could be suddenly replaced and then you're out of luck. So it's stacking sats, putting in the time to learn that, and then accumulating skills where you can provide real world value in the future. And I think that's how people are going to get ahead moving forward. Alrighty, up next, we have a massive, I'm not even going to show this video, it's short. President Trump confirms that 0% income tax is coming very soon. He said the money we're taking in is so enormous, you won't even have to pay income tax. It's a wild statement to make, considering the deficits, you know, what, $1.5-2 trillion. Greer, I'm going to hand this one back to you as an American. I'd love to hear your thoughts as to whether or not you believe 0% income tax is coming.
I welcome it. Yes, let's do that. But I also don't think it's very likely. You know, Trump was asked about the $2,000 stimulus checks, and his answer the other day made it seem like he didn't know what that interviewer, that reporter was asking about. He said, you know, I don't remember saying that. So I think that this is a campaign promise. This is an election year. And I think with his poll numbers being where they are, he's looking for ways to get the base excited and to get anybody excited. I think with the fraud that we've seen around the world, Minneapolis especially, and New York and California, I think people are tired of paying their income tax. We know it's just funding political parties and fraud groups. And I think that they're done with it. You know, they feel like this is maybe even unconstitutional. And we're not getting any reward for the taxes we pay in. And the ugly truth is the government doesn't really even need your taxes. They can print money. So why don't they just go ahead and see what everyone owes and spin up the printer and cancel your payment for you? You know, to me, that would be fantastic, and I'd welcome that. But I'm going to say that this has a very low likelihood of truly happening.
Yeah, not going to happen. Tony, what do you think?
Do you see pink elephants, you know, flying outside your window this morning, you know, when you were reading this headline? You know, if you believe this, I don't know what to tell you, man. And in the slim, slim chance this is actually true, this is definitely not good news. If they're pulling away the income tax, it's because things are so bad that, you know, this is what they have left in order to avoid a civil uprising. And I wouldn't get too excited about this. And because even if it did pass, it would probably come with an expiration date or a whole list of asterisks, you know, where most people would not even be able to apply to this, right? So Mickey Mouse talk, I'll believe it if and when it shows up. But until then, those pink elephants, you know, can keep on flying.
Yeah, I think that's probably more likely than 0% income tax. All right, guys, let's watch this video real quick from SEC Chair Paul Atkins on Fox Business.
Venezuela has a Bitcoin stash worth about $60 billion. The chair of the SEC, Paul Atkins, joins me now. Mr. Chairman, what's going to happen to those Bitcoins?
Oh, well, that remains to be seen. I think, you know, this whole operation has been amazing. The president and Secretary Rubio and then the brave service people in our armed forces have done a really spectacular job to try to help bring peace and liberty and prosperity to the people of Venezuela, and then obviously safety to the American people.
Well, so, are we trying to take those Bitcoin off them?
Well, I mean, that I leave that to others in the administration to deal with. I'm not involved with that. I'm focused really, this week is an important week because the Senate's going to be taking up a bill. It's a bipartisan bill, but which will bring clarity and certainty to the crypto world. And as to the division of responsibility between the SEC and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Okay. So important week, and it'll set the tone for the rest of the year.
All righty. So just what I was hoping for, more legislation around crypto, potential for more confiscated Bitcoin to be added to the SBR for a government that I don't want to have any Bitcoin. This isn't good news. He sort of dodged the question on what's going to happen with Venezuela's Bitcoin stash that they we assume that they probably have. I think most governments probably have some. Tony, would you suspect that a nation like Venezuela would have a significant stack of Bitcoin? And I would be curious how you would suppose they are custodying it. Is it even accessible to the United States? Are they in self-custody? Do we have to find their seed phrase or something?
I wouldn't be surprised if they are hoarding, you know, this much Bitcoin, because, I mean, these countries, you know, have historically, you know, been sanctioned, you know, they've been shut out from all sorts of financial services. You know, it's been a big struggle for them to integrate, you know, in the dominant, you know, financial system. So I wouldn't be surprised if they've been using cryptocurrencies to bypass all this for so many years. Now, whether they actually have them, that's yet to be seen. I mean, we'll know very, very soon. What I can tell you, though, is that I don't think the U.S. invaded Venezuela, you know, because of their blue skies. You know, I don't think this was an act of charity or an act of a good Samaritan. The U.S. has never invaded anywhere if there wasn't a specific self-interest at play here. And so whether it's the oil and, you know, maybe this, God knows, but the truth will come out eventually. It always does. But if this is, it's, you know, why not, man? It's another budget neutral way to add to the reserve, right?
Tony, so cynical. Can't you just acknowledge that our imperialism is always done in benevolence? Greer, what do you think? Are we going to get some Bitcoin?
I think they're taking the Bitcoin. I just don't think Paul wants to tell the guy who holds the private keys to know about it. And I think if the U.S. is going to go in and take over the oil, take over the natural resources, set up a, you know, sort of a vassal state that we can work with, I think that the Bitcoin is definitely on the table. They probably know where it is. They probably know who holds it. And it's just a matter of time before we hear some kind of report that the U.S. mysteriously has, you know, over 900,000 Bitcoin. So, I would say if you think we're going to let Venezuela keep the Bitcoin, you're kind of missing the point. The point is to go in there and really take control over everything Venezuela offers, while at the same time promising freedom, promising liberty, promising diplomatic trade between our two countries. But I think you have to kind of take a realistic view on this.
Didn't Trump post some sort of like a Photoshop Wikipedia page that said like acting president of Venezuela or something like
he
that?
Did. With a
Yeah, so if you're wondering where the Bitcoin's going, I think that's maybe your clue. All righty, guys, this is again, we've been talking about gold and silver in particular the last couple of weeks. Gold and silver are now the top two global assets by market cap. So gold is at $32 trillion and silver is at over $4.5 trillion global market cap, ahead of Nvidia, Google, all of these major assets. So this is, to us, I think the signal people are fleeing legacy, you know, fiat denominated assets and into something semi detached from the system. Tony, what is your take on this continual movement upwards for gold and silver?
That's exactly what you said, man. People who have money right now are scrambling to get into things that they understand, which is gold and silver, the physical assets that have been around for thousands of years. That is not to say that this is the way of the future. It absolutely isn't, in my opinion, because these things cannot exist in the digital world. So these are, you know, instincts, you know, immediate next moves for somebody who's panicked. And the big money right now, like the boomer money, well, you know, most of them don't come from the tech world and they don't understand Bitcoin. And for them, it's like an insane risk to take. So they jump on whatever, you know, they comprehend, which is currently gold and silver. But eventually that's going to change. And I reckon it's not going to take very long for that change to happen.
Greer, anything you'd add to that?
I think we're seeing the rules-based order come to an end. And I think we're seeing the fiat currencies, they will go along with this. I think they're all going out the door and people are in this intermediate period where they're rushing into assets that they can own. I'm guessing that a lot of this is physical silver, physical gold. People want to be able to say that they have it. They don't want to depend on a counterparty to deliver it. And I think the demand for these products is just going to continue. The problem for anyone that holds gold or silver is that more can be mined out of the earth. And as the price increases for both, the incentives to go and acquire those mines increases. So it will be short-lived. I think it will be until we see what the next phase is. I believe that Bitcoin will be the key piece in the future financial system. And I think that anyone who thinks it'll be gold or silver is probably going to wait too long. I would expect a lot of the gains that anyone has experienced to rotate into Bitcoin over time. But we are seeing people flee from things that can be held by a third party. That's true for stocks. It's true for mutual funds, for your 401k. None of those are safe when the world events like we're seeing are unfolding.
Absolutely. All right, it goes last. Natalie Brunel, she said, spotted after the Golden Globe, Satoshi Nakamoto. So God bless Natalie for assuming I would know who this is. I mean, the most recent celebrities I'm familiar with are like the Backstreet Boys. But apparently this is, Teyana Taylor wearing a Satoshi Nakamoto. What would you call this, guys? Like a robe or a coat of some kind?
It's a Snuggie.
A Snuggie. So apparently Teyana Taylor is someone famous. What do you think, Tony? This is I assume she's famous because Natalie wouldn't be posting this otherwise, but maybe some signal, like people with an influence and a reach are waking up to the broken money and promoting Satoshi.
Well, for starters, I didn't peg you as a Backstreet Boys fan.
I just said I'm familiar with them, Tony.
That's besides the point.
But I'm a
millennial. This is great news, man. This is the signal that I look for because it tells me that Bitcoin is going mainstream. I mean, this artist has a 1.3 million following, and so these are the normies that listen to messages that she puts out. And if she's talking about Bitcoin, then finally the people who need it the most are going to be this much closer to understanding that this is a viable, a real option for them to improve their lives. And so for anyone wasting time on prices and charts and analysts around Bitcoin, this is why I keep saying it's the wrong place that you need to be looking. Focus on the network effects, whether it's solo mining becoming more plug and play, whether it's like for celebrities talking about Bitcoin, whether it's like Bitcoin going mainstream in ways that, your average Joe has immediate access to it, in the way you want them to access it, as money. This is why Bitcoin, in my view, is 100% going to become the future of money. Because again, as regular folks understand that it exists, that it's not a trade, as the world continues to, be lit up on fire and people losing their life savings overnight, these lessons are going to force everyone into the one asset that they control and that no one else can use and abuse against them.
Greer, what would you add to that?
Satoshi's cool. He's the OG. And I think the fact that we don't know who he is just adds to the mystery and the enigma. So, I think this is great. It's cool to see Bitcoin become part of pop culture. And I think that continues forever because we won't ever know who Satoshi is. So the mystery will be, fueled. And I think people's interests are going to be naturally drawn to that. So I think this is cool to see. I also don't know who she is, but I'm sure she's a super talented artist. So kudos on the Golden Globes win.
And unfortunately, I suspect that the award she is holding is not made out of real gold based on current prices. But awesome to see that people are putting the word out there for the masses. Alrighty, guys, thank you for being here. For everyone who tuned in, really appreciate you joining. Stick around for another minute or so and learn a bit about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you with taking proper self-custody of your Bitcoin, self-sovereignty, all of that good stuff. Greer, Tony, we'll catch up again later this week.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.